Welcome to Harvest Online. If you've been watching for any length of time, you've probably already noticed our new set. Isn't this amazing? If you like our new set, just throw me like a fire emoji or something in the comments to let us know. But we are just so excited to be with you today. And I am really excited because today I have a small live audience. This is awesome. It feels different. Pastor Tyler, for the last 10 weeks, it's been me and you and a camera, and I love you. Nothing against just preaching to you, but this is going to be really, really fun. I love having our team here. By the way, since you're all here and our friends are watching, I just want to brag. You guys, this team, Harvest team, you've been amazing during this pandemic. I have just been amazed at how quickly you pivoted and how flexible you've been, how passionate you've been in this season. And I'm so, so proud of all of you. And Harvest family, we really miss you. Am I right, team? I mean, we really, really miss you. I know we got to see a bunch of you last week for Convoy of Hope. That was phenomenal. I'll talk about that in just a second. But today, this afternoon, we want to invite you to come and to visit. Our team is going to be in the parking lot this afternoon, and we'd love for you to come by, say hi, and we have a gift for you. We have the newest Harvest T-shirt. I'm so excited, and we're gonna give it to you today. All right, if you'll come through, we'll be set up. We'll have all your sizes. We'll give it to you. Really, we just wanted a touch point, and we wanted to remind you that we know you're there, and we're praying for you, and we love you. And hopefully, it's not too much longer until we're able to be back together in live services. But I can say this with confidence, and I mean this absolutely. The church has never been more open than it has been in the last couple of months. I am so proud of Harvest, of our response in this crisis. I have a spreadsheet because there's so much we've been able to do. It's been hard to keep up with. And so I've been keeping track of all of the things, all the Friday dinners and the debt payoff and all of the things. And then, of course, this weekend was Convoy. You know, we served 627 cars. But, you know, we have a thing we say. We say everyone matters. And while the big number matters, we believe there are individuals represented in each one of those cars, each one of those families. They have stories. They have things that are going on. Those individuals matter. And so we were interviewing on the way in, asking each car, how many people are in your family? We were keeping track. 2,853 people were impacted this last weekend through Convoy. And Harvest, I'm just so, so proud of you. By the way, stay tuned because there's more opportunities to serve. I can't quite tell you yet, but there's some big stuff in the works. We're going to get to continue to love our city. New normal. That's what we've been talking about, the new normal. This season, this is not the new normal. Anyone thankful for that? This is the in-between, right? This is the disruption that's giving us the opportunity to create a new normal. So our prayer for you and your family is that you would take advantage of this disruption to create some new and hopefully better patterns for your future. This crisis has caused all of us to question a lot of things. I mean, maybe everything. Everything has been kind of put on the table. We've been weighing out, you know, what's important and why are we doing things and how are we doing things. It's caused us to think really closely about our finances. It's caused us to think about our work. That's what we talked about last Sunday. It's caused us to think about our family dynamic. And for sure, one of the things I think it's caused probably every family in America to think about is our priorities. It's like overnight things shifted. Overnight, things that we thought were important, all of a sudden we realized weren't nearly as important as we used to think. Things began to change. And that's what I want us to talk about today. New normal and our priorities. How do you determine what's the most important? How do you live a life that truly prioritizes the right things? And we've been saying this through the series, but all of us have patterns, all of us. And we naturally gravitate back towards those patterns, the things that we know. And here's what I know about this, is we'll naturally gravitate back to the things that we prioritized. And so this is a chance for us. We get to weigh things out and determine what really matters. We're going to spend some time today in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 is written about a time in the world where the world is shaken, but it's also talking about a time in the future where the world is going to be shaken even more. Doesn't that sound kind of like what's happening in our world today? And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27 says this. This is such a picture of current society. It says, this means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. It says it's going to be shaken, and in the end, only the unshakable things will remain. I think this is a picture of what's happening in our world today. Without doubt, what we've learned is this: our world is shakable. Our world is shakable. Think back to January 1st. I know it honestly feels a lot further away than it really is. This has been a long year already, but think back to January 1st. We're starting the year. New year always brings anticipation. Things are changing. The slate is wiped clean. Whatever the year before, you know, looked like, now we have a chance at a new year. Here we go. And at Harvest, it was no different. The first Sunday of the year, January the 5th, we have a tradition called 6-minute sermons. And we brought in, you know, a bunch of our own people, and we had these sermons, and all of them, the theme was this. You remember it was all in. And speaker after speaker after speaker challenged us. We're going to go all in this year. They helped us to understand what it looks like to go all in. And then our theme verse for the year. I hope all of you at home remember it. I know our team does. But our theme verse, Mark chapter 12, verse 30. You can say it with me if you like. Says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. That's how we started the year. I don't know how anyone else felt, but I started like, we're all in. Let's go, right? Come on. This is the year. We have all these dreams, these things that we think are going to happen. And I don't know. I was all in. My family was all in. I know you were all in. We were ready to go. In fact, looking back, I just have to laugh because I saw so many preachers who took the 2020 and took that idea, and they talked about how this will be the year of clarity, right? The year of 2020 vision. Can I just tell you, that's happening, but not the way we thought it was going to, right? It's happening. We're getting more clear because everything is being shaken, and only the things that will remain, right? Only the unshakable is what's left. The world began to shake. I don't know if anyone likes this game. It's called Jenga. This can be a frustrating game. And I thought about this because, you know, this is what 2020 started like. Okay, 2020, the January 1st, you know, the slate's clean, we're starting, and I'm like, this is going to be a great year, and then March came along, right, and slowly things began to kind of unravel, and, you know, when you play this game, the first couple of pieces, they're fairly easy. My wife's really good at this. I probably should. Oh, there we go. So we'll just pretend that this was March, you know, and we got word that there was a virus over in China. And we said, oh, it's so far away. We don't have to worry about it. We logged into our 401k. We said, we're still strong. We all said, we still have jobs. In fact, I don't know if you remember, but it was sometime in March where all of a sudden we had the lowest unemployment in like the last two or three decades. And we were celebrating, right? And then the first, you know, couple of people in our country began to get the virus. And then, you know, things began to happen. And all of a sudden, you know, a couple of people lost their jobs. And, you know, and all of a sudden, this world that we thought was intact unshakable. All of a sudden, it began to miss some pieces, right? And then the world began to shake. The world And for many of us, this is what it feels like right now. Everything has been shaken, and only the things that are unshakable remain. Now, I'm actually here to encourage you. Don't let this discourage you, okay? I'm here to encourage you because this is what I see. I see an opportunity. I see an opportunity for us to create a new normal. I see an opportunity for us to build on the right foundation. I see an opportunity out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27, that unshakable things can remain. I see a chance for us to rebuild. But I think it would be wise for us to reflect on our priorities as we start this process of rebuilding. So how do we determine the right priorities? In the business world, there's something called the Eisenhower Matrix. It's a simple framework for deciding what to give your attention to. You know, in this course of a day or a week or a month, how do you determine what gets your attention? And this matrix, it's named after our 34th president. That's why it's called the Eisenhower, Dwight Eisenhower. Here, listen to this quote from him. He said, "Who can define for us with accuracy the difference between the long and the short term, especially whenever our affairs seem to be in crisis? We're almost compelled to give our first attention to the urgent present rather than the important future." That's what's happening, is there's an urgency today because of the crisis, and it's caused us to question our priorities. In a different speech, Eisenhower quoted an unnamed university president, and he said this. He said, "I have two kinds of problems, the urgent and the important. The urgent are not important, and the important are almost never urgent." So out of these ideas, Eisenhower created this matrix. Think of it today, we're talking about priorities. Think of it as a priority filter, okay? And I'll just show it to you today. We're gonna look at this. The priority filter, there's two axes, okay, if you will. There's the importance axis and the urgent axis, okay? So this side will be importance, all right? And then this will be urgent, all right? So there's two, and then what we're going to do, so these are axes, and then we're going to divide it into quadrants, okay? So this is going to help us as we determine how do we prioritize? What gets our attention? What gets our energy, okay? And so the first one is this, and it's weird to think there's parts of our lives that fit in this quadrant, but down here you have the things that are not important, but they're also not urgent, okay? Not important, but also not urgent. As the crisis began to unfold in America, we began to hear terms like this, essential jobs and non-essential jobs, right? By the way, if you had a non-essential job, if it was termed non-essential, don't let that get too much in your heart, okay? It doesn't mean you're not essential. It means someone, you know, up the governmental ladder determined that the job wasn't, right? But I thought of that as we're thinking about the not important and the not urgent. What do we do with those things? I think in this crisis, it's caused us to ask some questions, okay? Maybe you've asked this. Maybe you've asked as you've kind of assessed the things in your home because you've been stuck there a lot more than normal. You've asked, why did I buy that, right? Something that pre-crisis looked really important, right? Like, oh, I just have to have this thing, this item. And now you've been stuck with the item for 2.5 months and you're like, I don't even know why I bought that. I don't even like it. I don't like the color. I don't like, you know, whatever it happens to be. Or maybe you've looked and you've said, "Do I really need that?" Right? We're because our priorities are shifting. Or I know a lot of people ask this: how many do I need? Right? Early on, when all the toilet paper was flying off the shelves, right? There were some people that were going, "How much toilet paper do I need?" I'll just have some fun with this. I've noticed I've kind of been the primary grocery shopper during the crisis. And so I've noticed there are some things that people don't buy during crisis. Okay, just I just have noticed as I'm walking along through the store, going the right direction of the arrows, I've noticed some things. Here's some things people don't buy in crisis. They don't buy unsweet tea. I've just noticed, which makes sense because it's just colored water. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. But I've noticed the sweet tea's gone, the sodas are gone. Unsweet tea is just all lonely on its shelf, right? I've noticed that during crisis, people don't seem to be interested in buying kale. Because it's kale, that's all I have to say, right? Here's another one. People don't seem to be interested in buying pasta made from chickpeas. Okay, that's very specific. Okay, and we have a picture, Tyler. You can add it later. Okay, pasta. I don't even know what. I don't want to taste pasta with chickpeas. So even in a crisis, right? There's food shortage. There's food insecurity. People are like, no pasta with chickpeas. Right, here's just a couple more. Chocolate hummus. That sounds disgusting. I mean, chocolate hummus? I mean, I don't like regular hummus. I certainly don't want. And then one last one. I just found this one amusing. And again, I have a picture. All the beef is gone in the meat department. All that's left is pork, all right? All the poor little pigs, man. They're all left alone, right? I'm having some fun with this today. But hopefully what we've discovered is there's some things in our lives that aren't nearly as important as we thought. So what do we do with the things as we discover they're not important and they're not urgent? What we do with those things is we delete them. we got to find a way to get rid of the things in our lives that are unimportant. I'm convinced that we spend too much time living for things that are unimportant. Now, I'm not talking about pasta with chickpeas anymore, right? I'm not talking about chocolate hummus. I'm talking about the activities of our lives, how we spend our time, right? How we utilize our energy and our resources and our giftings. I'm convinced that we spend too much time on the unimportant. Here's the trick of the enemy. I just want to expose the trick of the enemy. It's to convince you that unimportant things are important. If he can convince you to spend your energy on unimportant things, then you'll never get to the important things. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to stop you from living the life that God has called you and created you for by just simply keeping you all wrapped up in all of these unimportant things. I'll go back to Hebrews chapter 12. This is kind of where we started, but I'll go to the beginning of the chapter. You've heard this verse. Hebrews 12:1, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. What he's saying is, let's throw off the unimportant things, right? Let's throw off the stuff that doesn't matter. If you've ever ran a distance race or hiked a long distance, you know this. You know that you don't want to carry anything with you that you don't have to carry. Why? Because they call it dead weight, right? It's unimportant. We gotta figure out how to throw off the stuff that's unimportant. So I'm encouraging you today, let's use this season to lighten the load for the new normal. We're trying to create a new normal. So let's lighten the load. Let's assess now, right? Let's go through the backpack of stuff we've been carrying and weigh it out. Is this important? Is this urgent? If it's not, let's figure out a way to leave it there. The second quadrant is the important but not urgent, okay? The important, so we're coming up the important axis, but we're still not urgent, okay? Important but not urgent. Just an observation. It seems to me that during the crisis that things have slowed down, right? People are at home more and they're not having to rush around and get to work. The roads, if you've gotten out on the roads, are not quite as congested. And just overall the pace, right? Even like in the grocery store, even with the arrows, it's a little bit of a slower pace. And before everyone was just running, right? The pace was, I mean, it was almost too much to keep up with. And I think what we've realized is that maybe everything's not as urgent as we used to think it was. Maybe things that we perceive to be urgent really weren't that urgent. Maybe we were creating a crisis in our own minds, right? I love this verse in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, and I really love it in the Message translation. The language is just beautiful. It starts out like this. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion?" I think that's the question to all of us pre-pandemic, right? We're running, we're hard, we're going for it. And Jesus says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out?" And he says this is the offer from Jesus. "Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it." And I love this line, "Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." Learn the rhythms of the kingdom. He says, "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I just love this idea that God has a different rhythm than the rest of us. Confession of a pastor is it's so easy for me to get into the rhythm of the culture around us. It's so easy for me to get in, to buy into the stuff that the world says is high, high importance. I just get on that rat wheel and it just, can I just tell you today, I'll say it to myself, you can get off the rat wheel, right? Have you ever watched them, you know, in the pet store? I mean, they're stuck, and I watch them, and I think, come on, little, you know, gerbil or hamster or rat, or like, get off the wheel, right? And you see the fear in their eyes, like what's going to happen if I stop? And I just want to say to them, you're just going to get off the wheel. There's nothing else is going to happen, right? I'd love to say that to our friends watching at home today. You can get off the rat wheel, the important, but not the urgent, okay? How do we deal with these? These things can be scheduled, okay? They can be scheduled. We can lower that urgency, right? We don't buy into the rhythm of the world, and we say, yeah, that's important, so I'm going to plan, right? I'm going to schedule. I'm going to make sure, because it is important, I'm gonna plan for it. The next quadrant is the urgent but not important. Okay, so we're going this way now. All right, so it's urgent, but it's not important. Urgent but not important. Last week, last Sunday, we talked about work and we talked about discovering our purpose. I just want to go back there for just a moment. I made this statement because I think this helps us with this, with the urgent things that are not important. My dream for you is that you would do what you do best, to do what you love the most, to create results that matter the most. What I really want is for you to find your sweet spot, right? To find that sweet spot where you're really doing the things that matter the most, and anything else, you're finding a way to just get rid of it, right? You're finding a way to delegate it. You're shoveling it off to someone else because you, every one of you, have a sweet spot. That's where I want us to live. And here's the trick of the enemy is the enemy just wants to keep you busy. We live in a society where there's an illusion that if you're busy, you're important. There's an illusion that if you're busy, you're accomplished, right? There's an illusion in our world today that if you're busy, you're better than someone who's not busy, right? I mean, there's all of this, and I'm trying to help set you free today that there are things in your life, right, that are in this quadrant that you can delegate them. You can say no to them. So I'll say it this way. We have to learn to say no to good things so we can say yes to the God things. That's really where we're talking about priorities. How do we tap in to the things that God has created for us to do? And then finally, we've got the important and the urgent, okay? It's both. It's the important and the urgent. This is where we want to live, guys. This is where we want to spend 98% of our time, of our energy, of our resources. Listen, again, in Hebrews chapter 12, to the rest of the verse, so it says, let's throw off the weight and the sin that entangles. And then he says this, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. That's this quadrant. Let's run the race. the race you were created for. Let's run the race, the one that you are specifically designed for. This is where we spend our time. But church, I want to remind you today, we have a very important and very urgent job to do. In the middle of all of this, because here's what crisis does. Crisis tends to cause us to turn inward. Crisis tends to cause us to think about our bank account, our job, our family, our health. And I just want to open you back up today. I want to open your heart and remind you that as followers of Jesus, we have an extremely important job and an extremely urgent job. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is with his disciples. He's getting ready to leave the earth. He's giving some final instructions to the disciples. I've always thought this, that final instructions, they carry weight. I mean, if I know that this is the last thing I'm about to tell you, I'm going to think long and hard. I'm not going to make any jokes, probably. I'm going to make my words count. And this is what Jesus said. He said to the disciples, he said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So he's letting them know, like, I'm backing you up on this. I have all authority, heaven and earth. And so he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I picked this version of the Great Commission because of that last part, right? Because I love the promise. Because you know what? In the middle of pandemic, in the middle of coronavirus, some of us need to be reminded we have an important job, we have an urgent job. But Jesus said, he promised, he said, you can go and do this. I have all authority in heaven and on earth, and I'm with you. He was looking into the future. He was looking at 2020, the year we all started out like, I'm all in, let's go. And then everything crumbled. And Jesus, I'm just telling you, he's saying to us today, I am with you always. Everything that we do, everything, we're talking about priorities, everything we do should connect back to Matthew 28, to Jesus' command to go and to make disciples. We have such an opportunity. I've been saying it the last couple of weeks. It's never been easier. It's never been easier to bring hope. It's never been easier to show love. It's never been easier to be a witness for Jesus. I'm just telling you, it's never been easier. And we cannot forget that that's what we are called to do. In the middle of crisis, we can stand in confidence because of our relationship with Jesus. Because of that relationship, we have something in us that is unshakable. We can stand on that promise. Everything should come back to this. So we have a chance to completely redo our priority filter as we start to create a new normal. And I love this matrix, and I hope it helps you today, but I just think there's one thing that's missing. I want to add one thing to the Eisenhower matrix. Nothing, again, he's smarter than all of us combined, I'm sure, but one thing, it's an overarching scriptural principle. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Think of that as the banner over all of this. Over all of this is Matthew 6, 33. Seek first. Seek first. This is the overarching principle. I just want you to consider today, all of us, let's ask ourselves this question. Who is first in our lives? Who's first? Who's in first place? Listen, there are so many things to seek after in this life. So many. They're not bad things. Marriage, right? All the wives would say, you better continue to seek after this relationship, right? children. I love that we have, I have my own girls here today, and Gabby and Angel. I love that. Listen, that's a worthwhile thing to seek after, to pursue, right? We should be doing that. Your job is important, okay? Your job, whether they said it was essential or not, right? It's important. It's okay to have the passion for your job, to pursue advancement, to pursue, you know, the success there. And then here's where we usually start getting off track. We pursue finances, and we pursue the stuff that you can get with finances, and you pursue the achievements, and you pursue adventure. There's so much to pursue. And I just want to be clear. None of this is wrong. It's not wrong. God put inside of you desires. He put stuff inside of you, and you want to pursue that because He created you. He created you to like those things and to want those things. But let me also be clear that Jesus wants to be first. He didn't say don't seek anything else. He said seek first the kingdom and righteousness. First, seek these things. Then, and I'll show you in the verses that precede this verse, in verses 31 and 32, he says, do not worry, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Those are things that you can pursue, right? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? Where are my kids going to go to school? Where's my job? All of these are things. He says, don't worry about those things. Right? He says, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. In fact, there's a promise attached to this. Then he says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Isn't that good news? We don't have to pursue all the other stuff. We pursue the first thing. If we put Jesus first, He takes care of all the other things. So today, I'm asking us, let's make two commitments, just two commitments. Number one, let's put Jesus first. Let's put Jesus first. In fact, in just a minute, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and you can pray it at home. You can pray it with us. It's a prayer to put Jesus first. And then let's focus our energy on the most important things. Let's run our lives through the priority filter by starting with Jesus first and then evaluating what is the most important and what is the most urgent. And then let's run the race that has been put before us. This means we're going to have to delete some things. We're going to have to delegate some things. We're going to have to schedule some things. But all of that means that we get to do what we were created for. I'm telling you, that is a sweet spot. So let's put Jesus first this morning. If you're at home and you'd like to put Jesus first, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. You can say it right there in your living room, and let's put Jesus first. All you have to do is, just I'll pray. You pray after me. Say, Jesus, why don't y'all help me? Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins and all I've done wrong. I trust you. You are unshakable. I believe you died on the cross. And rose again so I could be forgiven. I give my life to you. I hold nothing back. I'm yours, and you are my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.